Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
And this week we're joined by Christian Leinsberger from the Windows Azure Data Market team. Welcome. So we've got a good show. We're gonna go through the news. We're gonna cover the Windows Azure Data Market. Christian's got some demos set up for us. He's gonna talk a little bit about some things you can do from a developer perspective. And then we'll end with the tip of the week.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Let's get started. So the first news item is related to what we talked about last week. So Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone 7. What we've done is this last week we've released a screencast that demonstrates how to get started. So we covered this in the Cloud Cover show last week, but we were kind of long-winded, and I think it was a 41-minute show. This is a 10-minute screencast that itself could have been a lot shorter.
So if you watched last week's episode, the joke's on you, because you could have just waited a week.
You could have just waited
and watched the condensed version.
So I didn't watch last week, so what's this about?
excellent. Well, thank you. The Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone 7 is a toolkit designed to make it easier for phone developers to use Windows Azure.
Oh.
And so the very first release of it focuses on two use cases, leveraging storage in Windows Azure, and then also membership services. And then we have additional iterations where we'll add new and additional functionality, some of which will be focused on Windows Azure Data Market.
So I could actually go and build a game and store my statistics and scores and what have you in the cloud, and then maybe
Absolutely.
Build a website on top of it, like for people who want to, compare and what have you, right?
Where were you last week?
Yeah, geez. I mean, it sounds more appealing when you say it like that.
So, excellent. But yeah, so check out this screencast. It'll show you how to very quickly get started.
That's great.
All right, moving on. So, simplified import and export of data. Do you wanna talk about this?
Go for it.
Oh, okay, happy to. So last week, pretty exciting announcement and release in the form of a CTP from the SQL Azure team, and it's the support for import and export. So if you go to, I believe, SQL Azure Labs, I think, .com, essentially you'll see that there's a new section here, SQL Azure Import and Export, set up where you now have a different way to get your data in and your data out of SQL Azure. So pretty exciting. It's a CTP, so it's not going to be part of the production site, but you can still leverage it. You can still interact with it with your data. Definitely take a look at the installation. It's not necessarily streamlined yet, since there are some dependencies on bits and capabilities that will be coming in, the next version of SQL Server. So it's not slipstreamed into one package. So you've got a few things you need to install to get it set up. But once you get it set up, you can be off and running.
And import-export is CTP, but you can do this against your production SQL Azure database, right?
I believe SQL Azure Labs does point to your production.
Right. So you can go try this out.
Yep.
You don't have to go create some.
But you have to go to the SQL Azure Labs
to get
environment
to get import and export.
I think the tool is CTP. I mean, the underlying platform is
Right.
Yep.
That's great.
Absolutely. All right, so Mix.
Mix, Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
We're all going to Vegas. Are you going to Vegas?
Yeah, I go to Vegas.
Are you going to Vegas?
I will be in Vegas.
I'm going to Vegas. Are you going to Vegas? I hope I was pointing at the right camera. I have no idea. I don't think actually that camera is doing anything that I'm pointing to. No,
okay.
I don't know. Or no, that one's the one. The one in the corner, that's probably not doing anything. Anyway, Vegas is coming up April 12th to the 14th. Which is
Mix is coming up.
Really soon. Mix is coming up.
Vegas, I think, is there
Vegas
already.
Vegas is already there in preparation for Mix. Vegas was built already. And we'll be there. And all the sessions have been, all the sessions have been posted, I think, yet.
Not all of them, but
most
good,
of the Windows Azure ones are there.
So Steve's giving a couple, right? You're giving
this
two
guy,
talks.
Steve Marks heard of him before.
So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about stuff that's not .NET running in Windows Azure. So I'm going to focus on Node.js, Python, and Ruby. I may throw in some other stuff. That's my full session, and then I've got another session about other kind of random things you can do. But so all the weird stuff that I like to do on the platform that most people don't do, I'm going to show everybody how to do.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun. Wade, you're giving a talk or two?
Two
talks.
Yeah, so one on the Windows Azure App Fabric caching service. And then the next one on Windows Phone 7 applications using Windows Azure. So let me guess, you're talking about Data Market.
No.
What are you talking
about? I'm there at the booth. So we have a booth.
booth
and like my...
But what will you be talking
about
at the booth?
data
See,
market.
Gotcha. Wade was right. Okay, but you will be around.
No, I don't have it. I don't have a session, but my manager has a session, so we will talk about data market and
yep.
new features.
That's
stuff
right.
We're doing.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
Max will be giving the talk. Yeah,
Max will give the talk. I will be in the audience. So.
Here we go. Mashing up data on the web and Windows Phone with Windows Azure Data Market. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great.
Cool.
So we'll see you at Mix. Steps to set up invoicing. So we actually made a request to our loyal fans on Twitter to help us come up with some news items for today. And David Paulman, one of the Windows Azure MVPs and general manager at Neudesic.
Super awesome guy.
Super
is his
awesome
title.
Guy. suggested we talk about this, and I think this is pretty interesting. We just released some documentation that describes how to set up invoicing with Windows Azure. So,
right.
if you're a developer, you may not care, but we found that most people, you know, actually do care about this because not everyone wants to use their own credit card or has the ability to set up a credit card with their usage of Windows Azure. They'd much rather set up invoicing via their company.
And I think actually when you work in a larger company and you work for the company and want to establish a relation like work in Windows Azure, you want to do this instead
yep.
of a credit card. It's
Absolutely.
Much easier, right?
Yep.
And it's more straightforward.
And so there's a phone call and everything, or a phone number and everything.
Well,
so you can just call someone up and provide this information and I guess
ready to go.
So nice. Or you can do it through the web. So that's
nice.
Pretty cool.
So you don't have to talk to
you
a
don't
person.
You have to talk to
Okay, good, because really I hate that.
All right. And
Rough paper Azure.
This is pretty cool.
This is kind of cool. This is this. I think by the time you watch this video, this will be a live contest that's actually that will be launched. I believe it's U.S. only. We should say that up front because we have many viewers from around the globe. So I think you can only actually enter and win if you're in the U.S. You can win. What can you win? A Kinect,
Xbox 360 Kinect bundle, a Kinect, or a $50
or a $50 gift card, which will not buy you a Kinect.
But it could be.
But
a part
you
of
could
a Kinect.
Use it to get a Kinect.
Well,
if you
could get a game if you had a Kinect.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
So basically, it's a contest where to enter, you've got to build a bot that plays Rock, Paper, Scissors, Fireworks. No, Dynamite.
Yeah,
Dynamite and Water Balloon. It's a Rock, Paper, Scissors variant with a couple gotchas in there that actually mean that I spent like 20 minutes thinking about what the game theory optimal solution was to it, and I couldn't actually be sure I got it. So I'm not exactly sure how you're supposed to design a good strategy for this, but that's what makes it a fun contest.
Yes.
So you go in, you figure out how to build a bot that plays this game as best as you can. Then you go deploy it into Windows Azure, and you can do some testing on it.
Yep.
You can deploy your own instance or run it locally, make your different bots fight each other and see who wins, deploy your best thing and enter it into this contest, and basically there's a weekly
contest. I think every week
contest.
They have a contest.
And then
on
is
Friday.
There a summary? I don't know if there's like an overall, if there's a final thing, but anyway, this thing keeps going. You get a chance to enter this every week with the same bot or with different bots. They all fight it out. There's a leaderboard that shows you the live stats of who's winning. It sounds like it's actually going to be kind of fun.
It reminds me a lot of at TechEd, I think 2001 in New Orleans, they had the terrarium contest where you built your own animal and then deployed it up into
this
world terrarium to see how it you know either could it would either flee other predators or it would attack. I mean, it pretty neat and. This sounds cool.
So this should be fun. And this has already been tested.
Yep, we have some footage.
We did this in the Japanese sub at Microsoft. We actually already released a version of this.
And here's the finale.
This is what happened. So this was the live version that we initially did, not built on Windows Azure. And it got a little bit violent. And so
we've toned it down a little bit.
And the new one is going to be purely virtual. I mean, it's up to you. If you want to find the people who built the other bots and go beat them over the head with a towel, it looks like, you can do that. We won't stop you. But it's not required.
Are we going to record a slow motion as well?
Yeah. They're done by computers, but then we slow them down.
Slow them down.
so that you can see it. I wonder how long one of these matches in the cloud takes. They play like to 1,000, the first person to win 1,000 of them or whatever. Yeah, it's sub-second. So we'll have slow motion replays where you press F5 in the browser and then you see the result.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that should be quite fun. I think it'll be released. We're not 100% confident, but we think that by the time you watch this, that'll be released. So you can go to www.rockpaperazure.com and check for sure, make sure it's actually going on and start building bots.
Yep, excellent.
Fun.
So, I think with that, we're ready to start talking about Data Market.
Yeah, so actually...
would you like to actually have your computer back here?
Yeah, that would be nice. So actually, first thing I want to show you guys is like, I want to give you a little bit of an overview, if I find this here. Well, I want to show you the website that we built, our portal. And basically what we have there is like a marketplace for data.
Yep.
It's, you know, right now if you go and you want to, you know, build an application or something, you usually need a lot of data, right? You need to, like, for example, if you want to build a weather app or you want to build, maybe you also want to build, you know, you want to build this rock, paper, Azure thing, and you want to use some data to actually know what's going on and do some interesting things. And for that, you need, it's really hard to get this data.
Yeah. So if I wanted to know the physics of, you know, what would happen if a rock hits a piece of paper, there might be some data available somewhere.
From exactly.
Or, you know, govern the properties of that interaction.
Yes. Or you just NASA has studied it, actually, and they've put up the data in Data Market.
Yeah. Actually, we have data from NASA.
I know. That's why it's totally plausible that we actually do have a bunch of data.
We have like all the pictures that they took from
Mars. Rover.
Yeah. So we have like all these rocks, right? So we have a lot of rocks.
There we go.
We do have a lot of rocks. See,
excellent.
Even the far-fetched stuff we try to make up turns out to be real with the power of the cloud. That's going in an ad
somewhere.
That's
a new quote somewhere, yeah.
So the cool thing is we have like all this data. We have like a lot of government data, demographics data, weather data, you know, news data and things like that.
Location like, data.
We have location aware.
Sporting data. NFL, Major League Baseball.
Yes, and until now, before Data Market, what you had to go is you had to go to all these different data providers and find the data, which was pretty hard.
Yep.
And once you had the data, they were like in different formats, right? Some people sent, we got actually people sending us a DVD. One guy sent us a printout of his data. He was like, okay, this is awesome. We also had like, you know, USB drives coming in. We had like hard drives.
So part of your job is actually transcribing data that people in doing data entry.
People don't realize, but that's actually the majority of his time is spent reading feeds from paper and just doing data entry.
Great if it's like dot matrix feed, you know, with the
and we have to have three people do them so that we do the verification.
Exactly.
Voting on what number that actually was and stuff.
But the interesting thing is that, you know, before that, it was really hard to get the data. Some data you couldn't get, like sports data, they only, stats.com only sold it to, like, big broadcasters. They didn't send it to, like, the, you know, the average developer out there. And now they made this available. And we put this website out there in the cloud. We put all this data in the cloud. It's actually hosted in SQL Azure and Windows Azure services. And we expose it as one protocol. So we used OData, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Yep,
definitely.
And if the audience is familiar with that, so it's basically some SQL-like REST-based query language that you can use to query data. And all of these different data sources are now available through this OData head. And you can build one application that's able to consume all these data sets. And then you can actually join data sets together, and you can build like, you know, a lot of interesting business logic around this. And signing up for the Data Market is pretty simple. You just go and, you know, click the sign-in button here. And what happens is, like, you will ask for for Live ID, so you need Live ID to sign in.
Yep.
And I have already signed up, so I just take my Live ID and sign in here. But basically what we would do here is, like, there's a small form that comes up to ask you for your first last name, and then you're in. So there's no, you don't have to pay anything. It's free. The account is free. And the interesting thing about it is that, actually, once you have the account, you can get data for free because we have a lot of data that's available for free.
Yep.
And you can use it and you can start playing with it. So we have like the UN data sets, all the statistics there. We have like crime data sets you can use.
Yep.
And you can also go and buy some of the commercial data sets. Yep. So if I go in here and just like browse around a little bit, let's go down. We have like, you know, stock data. We have UPC data, which is pretty cool. So you can get actually all the data about spirits, let's say nutrition, right? Information, and you can go and buy this data set. I mean, this one is a little bit more expensive, but there's data sets there that are $10, then there's a few that are like that much. But the cool thing here, for example, this data set is like around 1 million UPC codes with all the nutrition facts and all the allergy information. So you could build an application that shows you, you know, you walk around the store, you scan your UPC code, and then with the cloud, you know, actually, you know, if you're allergic to something or not. And you could use, you know, the phone SDK, you know, for you to store more information and do interesting things with it. And
it's great, actually. One thing that you said was that, you know, it's great to have this all in one form, that you have OData to interact with that. It's also really great that you have one place where you buy them. That the way that you buy these and interact with them is consistent, because that's another problem. If you're trying to gather several data sources and combine them, you have to find all of them. You have to deal with whatever format they're in. And then you have to establish a billing relationship with five different people.
Yeah.
And two of them, you probably can't even do it, as you said, like, unless you're a major player who has a really big relationship with them. They won't even bother to sell it to you because it's too much trouble for them to get it all set up and going. Yeah. And so a market like this lets everybody consolidate on the same formats, the same billing, the same set of things. They do have their own terms, right?
They have their own terms of use. But most of these terms of use are, you know, you can use it for like building phone applications, things like that. And also the data, a lot of these data sets are also, you know, the free ones or like the government ones. They have pretty loose terms, but they have their own terms of use and you need to read the terms of use. But as you said, it's one spot where you buy the data, where you find the data, and where you can actually start using the data, right?
Yep.
And interesting enough is also that, you know, building an application on top of this data set is really simple. So what I can go is like, let's go here and let's take the crime data set because, you know, it's a really interesting one. It shows you, you know, the crime statistics for the last couple of years. And you can actually, before you start playing with it, you get like a preview, like an interactive visualization. You get sample images, you know, like this is how you could use it. You could use it in Excel. And it also gets you details about, you know, what kind of data is exposed, you know, what are the different types that are exposed, how does the schema look like. And also terms of use, you can read the terms of use here. And you can, you know, before you sign up for it. But once you have it, once you have the, you know, you're interested in a data set, the only thing you need to do is you take the service URL here, the one that you find on this details page. You basically open Visual Studio. Let me open Visual Studio really quick here. And once you have it open, what you do is you create a new project. Let me just go here and create a new project really quick. Let's create a console application just for the sake. You know, it's one of the quickest apps you can get, right?
Yeah. I like console applications. half of the stuff I build ends up being console apps.
Half the stuff I build starts being a console.
Yes, and then it moves somewhere else.
And then it gets put into some complicated Windows Azure web app and whatever. But it always starts this way.
But then the only thing...
You added a server.
I added a service reference. It's as if I go to any other service, right?
Yep.
It creates me the object model. I click on OK. What happened is it, like, you know, creates all the references it needs. And it added the service reference to the project. And I can go and just take the service reference. I get like a container object. This is like standard, like entity framework kind of stuff. And I can use the container. And let's create a new instance of it. Let's go here. And, you know, I need to point to this URL where I got the data from, because I could point to like a lot of different, you know, places and things like that. And then I can just go and say, like, you know, from C in container, where C dot... Oh, I need to add like the.
Can you zoom that so that the people watching at home get to? Because
let's do that.
Or you can just do the in the corner. You can do the.
Oh, they have like
make it like 150 or something.
150.
Oh, this is this is awesome. That's here you go.
Because I just want to make sure people see, because it's only like two lines of code, and people. I want to make sure they see exactly what it is.
That's true, and it's true. And now what you could do is just like search for a certain city. Since we're here in Seattle, let's take Seattle, and I can just, you know, return that. And what I did right now is actually I went in and built a simple link query. Mm-hmm. And with that link query, it creates the OData query on top of it. And now I have the data in my application, and I can use it within my application.
Can you do like where C dot last name equals marks as well?
Well, actually, you know what's the cool? I'll tell you something. The cool thing about this is that this is like a you know, strongly typed, so last name doesn't exist.
So we can quickly answer Wade's question. No, you cannot search that way. You just have to search City of Seattle and just assume what percentage of that is based on me. This is very cool. And you know what? This should look very familiar to most people watching the show, because if you've used Windows Azure Tables or you've used OData on top of SQL Azure before, you've written like pretty much exactly the same sort of code, link queries over an OData provider and with simple, you know, select and where clauses and things like that. It's very cool that we're using the same frame or the same format for all this stuff.
Now one question I have is you're connecting to this endpoint and going to start consuming some data, but you haven't provided any credentials. You haven't
That's one of the things I skipped because I want to show you know how easy it is. Yep. But adding credentials is also really really easy, because what we used is we use basic auth, and .NET comes with support for that. Yeah. And so basically the class that you would need to use is called a network credential, and the container has a property that's called credential where you can actually provide the credential. And what we require, what you know that class requires, is a username and password. But since you know we don't really require, we only have a password, we have something called an API key that we store in the password. You don't have to provide a username. You can provide one if you want for tracking purposes and stuff like that. But then you...
So does that mean I can report off things a little bit differently based on username or...
Right now we don't have the capability, but you know, you could imagine a future where you know we store this information, and you could do that here. And the interesting thing is I can just go back to the website and sign in. Let me sign in here really quick. And then I go to my account, so and here I have account keys, which is my passwords. And basically, this is my real account key, so I have to change it after this show because otherwise people would get access to all of my data sets. But I can just take this one and copy it in
here. I've got it memorized.
Okay, yeah. You got it memorized?
I didn't have it, but then after he pasted it, I got it. Because I was missing the S38X at the beginning, but now I got it.
But now that's it. So that's really everything you need.
Yep.
So the credential is, you know, it now verifies whether you know you had purchased the data set, you had a subscription to the data set, yep. And now you can actually just use it. And I also did a little bit of work before the show and built a quick MVC application. And let me zoom in here as well.
Extra credit.
Yeah, I got
doing extra some work ahead of the show.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Before the show, you did something.
And I mean, I built like a controller. I actually took the basic MVC application that comes with ASP.NET MVC, and I extended the controller to allow me to search by state.
Nice.
And if I start this, what happens is, you know, the startup page comes up, and I wait a little bit.
And there's no trickery there. I looked. I mean, the code in the controller is pretty much exactly what we just saw. So this isn't the, like, let me switch to the real app where I did, like, four other steps because it's clear.
Well, I did, like, additional, you know, I passed in the state and I
that is true.
In the year.
I mean, okay.
It's a couple of additional.
It's totally different.
It's such a more complicated query.
So everything we're going to see is presumably the view because now you're passing all that stuff to the view. So everything that people are seeing that they didn't see the code for is just the view part of it.
And now I did a little query, and you know, I submit, I get the data back, and from here I could do whatever I wanted to do with the data, right?
Yep.
And actually, one of the interesting things that we did what one of my colleagues did is actually he went in and he was like, you know, this would be nice if we could join it with some additional information, and he built an application on Facebook that what it does is actually takes the same data set, but it joins it with your social graph.
And shows you which of your friends are the crimiest.
No, actually.
Or at the most risk.
Yes,
right? it shows the victim of a violent crime.
I prefer it the other way.
But it's kind of cool to see that a guy in Atlanta, you know, he's not.
See, they don't have a last name field associated.
So you can't actually search for the. But this can give you a list, like, which of your friends you shouldn't go visit, right?
Exactly.
So I think that's useful.
Yeah.
And so this is what? apps.facebook.com/crimestats.
This is crime stats, yeah.
Yes.
The cool thing is, you know, you can just start. It and it shows you it works with your friends, and it shows you know who is most likely to murder
than Chicago.
I'm a big fan. I really like the presentation here though. Of there's a guy's face and then it says burglary and murders. If you just sort of ignore that first column, this is a really awesome app.
But you know the interesting thing about this is that you know it's just. You can see how easy it is to take this, you know, the next step and, you know, join data with, like, different locations in the cloud and do, like, you know, some combinations and joins and get, like, really interesting insights into stuff that was really hard to figure out before, right?
Yep.
And building this took just a couple of, I think, actually half an hour or something like that, you know?
The hardest part was probably understanding the Facebook API, to be honest. At least in my
experience. that's probably true. The interesting thing is that... before you had data market, building something like this would have taken you forever.
Yep.
Because you would have needed, you know, get to the data and you actually had to go to data.gov and everything, the data that we have in the crime stats data is in Excel files. And we built a small importer to import the data into a SQL Azure database. And guess what? The state of California figured out they need a different schema than all the other guys. Mm. So, you know, importing, like, the importer broke, right? And you had to rewrite it and write around it, you know, and do, like, all these, like, fixes and things. But now, you just, you know, take the OData feed, it has the same schema for all the data, and you just, you know, go and party, right?
That's
like,
cool.
Strongly typed. The other interesting thing I wanted to show you guys is actually we also worked with Component Art, which is a you know, they create Silverlight components that you can, you know, embed in your own applications. And what they did is they extended their components to work with Data Market. And they built a website which you can, which is publicly available under azure.componentart.com. And there you can actually see a bunch of things that they did with Data Market. And they have like four visualizations they built. And the one that I like the most is the one where they show the world. And they show you, you know, the some indicators, regional indicators.
Is this from the UN data set? Or?
This is actually from the UN data set. And you can see it here on the top. It says like, you know, key global indicators by United Nations. Yep. And you can zoom into the different continents like Asia. And it shows you the data, you know, for all the different countries there.
That's nice.
And you can actually go and hover over it, you know, and to get like more information about it. And I really like this smooth transitions. It's like Silverlight is really great.
They build nice, this is what they do. They build very nice controls and things.
And they have like another one that shows you different, you know, countries.
Very cool.
And you can hover over and you get like, you know, comparison here. You can add stuff like Afghanistan, like just an example, right? And you can also go and, you know, the other one, which is also really, really cool, and I found new stuff which I didn't know before, is like they have also like the GDP here for the different countries. And if you go, you know, over like, let's say, United States, you say like they have like a detailed map down here, and you see that actually went down.
The trend, yeah.
Yeah, that's the trending. And if you go to China, you can see that like they just go straight up, right? And everything else, like also Japan, is really interesting, it's really going up and down. But this is really cool because, like, you know, using this control like this allows you to really quickly get insights into, you know, information. And they also have a nice feature here that's called Show Code that shows you the, that shows the code that they had to build to get this running. And
but some of that code is irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah. Great, you're pointing this out, actually. They have an option here that says, like, show relevant code.
I love this. Everybody who shows code should have a button like this, because there's always, there's a part of the code that's not really the important part, and then there's a part that is. So it's actually awesome. They have this show relevant code, which means you only get the part that's really, that's relevant. I was going to say pertinent.
Yeah.
That would be impertinent.
And, you know, cool is also that you hear, you, this is a great example, in my opinion, for seeing how you can use Silverlight with, you know, OData and, you know, the Data Market combined. And you can see they did, like, you know, the query stuff here. So you can see how you use query, you know, and link to do the query and things like that. And they did the asynchronous, you know, call to the service. It's pretty nice, actually, and pretty straightforward. That's
great.
That's, you know, from my side.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Awesome.
You know what that means then? It's getting to be that time where we come up to the tip of the week. And I don't know if you watch the show, but what we do leading into the tip of the week is that we have our editor, Bob, give us a little intro to the tip of the week, which is always the most horrifying part of the episode.
No, it's actually the most fun. In fact, we think most people subscribe to the show to watch the tip of the week.
I have no idea where Bob came up with last week's little tip of the week.
Roller skating babies jumping on fences.
That was really weird.
and I'll point out, too, my wife did watch the show, and she really enjoyed it.
So she liked the roller skating.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah.
Yep. So now your kids are going to have roller skates at all times.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, so it's that time for Bob to give us some tip of the week. Yep. I think it's got to be about crime.
Yeah, crime stats. Maybe
we'll just leave it at that, and we'll let Bob do his thing. With that, here is your tip of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
And we're back. Thank you for that lovely thing, whatever it was, Bob.
I think Christian's gonna walk us through the tip of the week. So.
Actually, tip of the week is also related to Data Market.
Excellent. We love it when that works out.
Yeah. What a coincidence.
I don't know.
What are the odds that you could come on the show and both talk about Data Market and then have a tip about Data Market?
I don't know how you guys did that, but, you know, it's like something.
The stars align.
All right, so what is the tip?
If you actually go to the homepage of Data Market, so datamarket.azure.com, and you click, you see this banner in the top, and the first item here is a add-in for Excel. So what you can actually do is you can download this add-in and install it in Excel, and then you can get the data into Excel.
Awesome.
And I did that already and have like a workbook open here. And what happens is actually there's a new button in the data tab on the, in the ribbon in Excel that, you know, with the Windows Azure flag and the little, you know, data thing here, that when I click it, it opens like a panel on the site that allows me to sign in, and I have to provide my account key. That's like the API key that I was talking about.
Right.
I click sign in, and what happens is actually I get a feed that shows all of my subscriptions.
Yep.
So I get all the data that's in there and everything that's in there. And I can go ahead and just, you know, let's pick again the crime data set, just, you know, because it's the one that I have also subscribed here. I can click on import data. And what happens is a query builder opens where I can start importing data. And I could go and say, like, you know, I want everything from the state of Washington, if I'm able to type here. And I can sort the results. I can go and say, I limit the number of results. Let's do 50 for now because it's a couple hundred here. And I can also specify what data I want to get back. So I could go and say, like, you know, I need the city. I want, you know, let's say population and robbery. And I also want, let's see if I find it here, the year. Click on import data, wait a couple of seconds, and have my data in Excel.
That's nice.
And now, you know, I can go ahead and, you know, it's just a couple of clicks and, you know, you create something like, you know, some chart.
Nice charts.
Whatever,
yeah.
I mean, this is nice. This is what Excel's good at, right?
Yeah.
Is taking a bunch of data and letting you manipulate it and work with it. So.
And the interesting thing here is if you an information worker who likes to work with data, this is really straightforward and you actually are used to working in Excel.
Yep.
Yep.
You're not so much used to work, you know, in, I don't know, API keys in a browser and Visual Studio.
Sure.
But if you're a developer, this shows is a great example of how what you could do, right? We're doing a little bit of office automation here, and it's just minimal. And the other thing is, you know, there's a couple of feeds, like this is actually the My feed that gives you back all your subscriptions. You provide an account key, and you get the data back, and you can find documentation about this. So you can build an experience like that, really straightforward, really easy. And it's something, you know, people enjoy working with.
Absolutely.
Can you refresh the data in here after you've imported? Do you have to do you just do the query again to bring?
So right now I have to do the query again. Yeah. It's not the greatest experience. You would want some sort of thing there, but you know, it was something, you know, that that we probably want to.
Well, this is new,
improve.
Right? This is somewhat.
This is also CTP, so it's a preview version that you can use.
Yeah.
And we're planning to ship updates to that, so you can expect something, you know, which has an update capability and things like that. So
that's great. That's awesome. An awesome tip, especially if you're trying to get familiar with the data market. If you're looking at some data set, you've gone and you've looked in the browser and you've seen sort of what's there.
Yeah.
But you don't know, sort of. I mean, until you've actually looked at some of the data and tried to build a graph with it or something, you don't do that. And instead of having to go write a bunch of code to just do the experiment of what's the data like, that's where my most common use for this would just be I want to play around with that data or look at it or try some basic statistics on it, see what's interesting. And I'd much rather do that in Excel than start writing code and building graphs.
I don't buy it. You're gonna start off with Python and, you know, building something hosted in Node.js.
That is true. The nice thing
like
about
that.
OData is that it's OData and Basic Auth. That's available in a lot of different languages.
Yeah.
So that is true. I will
that's
go build
true.
Some crazy thing.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Yeah, you can actually get the OData libraries for Java and Objective C and C Sharp and
it's
like tons of languages, right?
There are a lot of them, and even ones where there aren't. I know, as someone who's built my own sort of table storage libraries before, which is the same format.
Yeah.
You can always build them yourself if you need. I wrote one in JavaScript recently, and so you can absolutely do that.
Yeah, OData is very simple. It's very straightforward. Yeah. To build stuff on top. Yeah.
Excellent.
Great.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thank thanks for coming. Thanks for showing
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
Everything about Data Market, including this Excel plugin, is very cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I guess until next week.
If you have any ideas or comments or feedback, feel free to send them to us on Twitter at @CloudCoverShow. We'd love to hear from you.
And feel free, if you want to practice, feel free to tweet rock, paper, or scissors to us.
Yeah.
And then we will tweet back, and we promise we won't take into account what you said. And then we'll see who wins.
Awesome. All right, well, with that, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.